This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
On his website, he tells himself to be a Christian and going to the right.
This guy was not in any way associated with active Christianity or active performing of any faith.
Lord, I pray you bless the drivers and use them tonight. May they put on a performance worthy of this great track. In Jesus' name, boogity, 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 amen.
These parables are not about us. These parables are about Him, the Christ, who needs no repentance.
Lord of truck drivers, love issues, etc.
I think we've had a Friday off from something. What was it, Soundbite of the Week last week? We were talking with Dr. Arthur Just, doing some remembrance of the saints, if I'm not remember, with Dr. Arthur Just on Friday. Well, Soundbite of the Week is actually back this Friday. It's a very typical Friday here at Issues Etc., beginning with listener email, Issues Etc. comment line, Issues Etc. blog of the week. We will remember Mary, Martha, and Lazarus of Bethany, the three that always go together and really figure in some very important points in Jesus' ministry. Dr. Jeff Gibbs will be our guest in the second hour of the program live this Friday afternoon, the 29th of July. And then we'll play Issues Etc., Soundbite of the Week with you. We've got four soundbites posted at our website, issuesetc.org, and several ways for you to vote, both in advance or when we play Soundbite of the Week. You can give us a call in the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, our Twitter address, @issuesetc, or you can vote in advance for Soundbite of the Week at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. First up, listener email and a little bit of the Issues Etc. comment line.
Well, it's a good thing it's a Friday because your scatterbrain producer failed to give you your show sheets for today, but it's pretty routine other than the guest and topic in the second hour. So sorry about that, Chief.
No, easy work.
Before we get started, email, just got a call before we went on the air from Mark Bender, the music director at St. Paul Lutheran Church in De Pere, a suburb of St. Louis. He's just, they're wrapping up the premier worship conference of 2011, Sing His Praise, His Love Declare, and he says it lived up to all of our billing.
Oh, really? All the hype proved to be true.
Yes, yes.
I'm very glad. That was up at Seward, Nebraska, my alma mater, and we had some Issues Etc. regulars there as the main speakers at that worship conference. So, look, if it satisfies Mark Bender, then it must be top-notch. Because that guy has a pretty high notch, if you know what I mean.
And musicians in general.
Oh, I mean, yes. Difficult
they,
to...
They might be more difficult to satisfy than pastors.
They're a quirky bunch of people.
Or cranky elders.
Cranky church elders?
Yes, cranky church elders, too.
Well, I guess that's true. The elders at my church are not cranky. They're the nicest guys you ever want to meet, really, truly.
Well, that's because you're not the head pastor.
That's true. There are certain advantages to being an assistant pastor.
Yes, Pastor Cum gets to see the real side of them. They're like, oh, Todd's the nice young guy that we hardly see very often. You know, so they probably
no
treat
responsibilities.
You
a little differently.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Here's an email from Virginia. She says, I was very disappointed to hear you doing a sermon review on a sermon by Sheila Schuler Kuhlman. While I realize this review showed what is not a good sermon, it concerns me that people who may have heard Issues Etc. for the first time would think that you were condoning female pastors. Even for those of us who understand that the office of the ministry is for males only, it appears that you are legitimizing female pastors. Thank you for all the great work you do. I work from home 3 days a week, and Issues Etc. is my go-to programming during this time. Thanks for the email, and thanks for listening, Virginia.
Well, if she listens to the show at all, she will realize that we do not condone female pastors. We've probably spent many hours talking, either formally or informally, about how this is contrary to Scripture to have female pastors. So I think we're pretty clear on the record on that. I probably should have mentioned in the course of that sermon review at some point that while Sheila Shuler claims to be and is recognized by many as the pastor there at that church, she's playing pastor. She's pretending to be a pastor because the term female pastors, being unbiblical, is non sequitur. It does not mean anything. Only people think that women are pastors. They believe that their woman is a pastor, but Christ does not make pastors, does not call women to the pastoral office. Nothing against women. He just simply doesn't do it. And if he doesn't call them, they aren't pastors. And so we might call her pastor, but only in that air quotes kind of a sense. Now, someone listening in might have gotten that impression. But someone listening into Joel Osteen's sermon might also get the impression that we condone what he does. Or someone listening in might think that we condone, well, in the case of Joel Osteen, uneducated pastors. He has no pastoral education. His degree, I believe, is in broadcasting and media. He came to the pastorate of the largest megachurch in the United States by way of his father's death. Not because he's qualified in any sense to be the pastor of that church. Not because he has it's not just a matter of a theological degree. It's a matter of actually having been called to do that or trained or prepared to do that. So someone listening to our review recently of Joel Osteen's sermon might get the impression that we're condoning men who simply come into the pastoral office inheriting it from their father or because they're the best looking among the children or something like that. Well, of course, that's not true. Nor is it true that we would in any way want our listeners to think that we're condoning female pastors. Sheila Shuler's sermon was timely for several reasons. One, the oust of her father from the board of the Crystal Cathedral, but also it served as a great example. I don't think we'd ever done a female pastor sermon in our sermon review. We've done female teachers like, now her name escapes me.
Beth Moore, Joyce Meyer.
We've done female teachers. I don't think either of those women claim to be pastors. We've evaluated it with our sermon review as kind of, well, a lot of people think this is a sermon. But this is the first female pastor in a pulpit that we've done. We probably should have mentioned something about the fact that this is not in any way to condone female pastors.
Matt has some questions about the theme music of Issues, etc. He says, I love the show, but I gotta ask, when will your obsession with that Coldplay song be over? Thanks for the email, Matt.
Well, it's not obsession. It's our bump music. So I'll let Jeff explain what it means that you don't change your bump music every week. It's our bump music. It's not necessarily going to be with us forever, but it has nothing to do with an obsession over a particular song. It's the music that starts the show, transitions in and out of breaks. And for radio reasons that Jeff can explain, you need to have it be somewhat consistent.
Well, it's just a trigger in the mind of the listener that, hey, this is my show coming on, or I know what that is.
It identifies the show.
Just like we have how often do we get Facebook posts or email from people like, I was in the mall, heard Viva La Vida by Coldplay, and I expected to hear Todd's voice. That's the purpose of bump music.
Yeah.
And but I mean we're not wedded to it, and we've talked about changing that, not because we don't like it, but
I think it's still perfectly good bump music, but everything gets stale after a while, but it has nothing to do with really liking the song or being obsessed with that particular song. You got to choose bump music if you're going to have bump music, and when you do, you're better off sticking with it for a time rather than changing it around all the time, because I could play the bump music for Rush Limbaugh's song radio program. And people think now when they hear that on the radio, My City Was Gone, and the opening riff of that song, they think they're listening to Rush Limbaugh instead of a song by the Pretenders. That's how closely identified it has been with that particular radio program. So it just works that way.
This is from Steve. He says, firstly, I want to compliment you on the high quality of Issues, etc. It is one of my favorite programs, and I often listen to it online. To return to the rather tedious squabble over the papacy and the Antichrist and Cardinal Ratzinger in Pro-Life, I wish to affirm your absolute right to claim that the popes are indeed the Antichrist insofar as they affirm anti-Christian views, especially in regard to the Lutheran doctrine of justification, the central doctrine of Christianity as you term it. Some would disagree, however, most notably the apostolic churches, be they Greek or Latin. If someone were to ask me the central doctrines of Christianity, I would probably refer them to the early creeds of the church, the Nicene, the Apostles, and the Athanasian. I don't think that there is any reference in them to the doctrine of justification, other than that we will be judged for our works. Don't you think it rather odd that the church founded by our Lord and inspired and guided by the Holy Ghost since then would omit any reference to the central doctrine, and that it took 1,500 years for Martin Luther to discover or rediscover that truth? Thanks for the email, Steve, and thanks for listening.
Well, Steve, you're quite right that the creeds do not explicitly mention or explain the formula of justification. There's a reason for that. When the creeds were put together, it was unnecessary to explain that. It was understood. There was no dispute, or little dispute. I mean, there were the heretics. The creeds were also formulated in response to other questions than how is a man justified. They were formulated in response to who is this God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Who is Christ? How are the two natures in Christ related to one another? So, and the centrality of Christ's saving work, which should speak to someone who wants to say there's a different central teaching than justification. Why is, other than what simply coming second in the Trinity, why is the saving work of Christ the main subject? Well, there's a reason for it, because it is by that saving work that a man is justified. By faith in Christ alone that a man is justified. I think it speaks in favor of justification rather than against it.
I don't care how much money I gotta spend. Got to get back to my baby again. Lonely days are gone, I'm a-going home. My baby just hooked me a little.
At steadfastlutherans.org, we've been called contentious. We've even been called the brothers of John the curmudgeon. And we may well be curmudgeonly sometimes. But we always have the best and clearest voices in confessional Lutheranism. Articles from Molly Hemingway, Martin Nolan, Clement Preuss, Todd Wilkin, and a host of regular contributors. Come check out the new Lutheran media. Always clear, always concise, always confessionally Lutheran. SteadfastLutherans.org.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start. The foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
No Sonatocrats allowed. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
In 1968, Bob Edson perfected the sauce of his dreams. He called it Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce because it tastes great on everything. Country Bob's also has a line of specialty sauces like All-Purpose Spicy, Honey Habanero, or Apple Chipotle, if you like it hot. You can find Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce at your local grocery store or log on to CountryBob's.com and find out more, like a Country Bob's cookbook or recipes on their blog. No matter what you're grilling or cooking, it all comes down to the sauce. Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce.
Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org, and click Find a Church.
In Jesus' name, boogity, 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 amen.
We should take all that outrage that we've directed at Casey Anthony and spread it around a little and look at our abortion laws, the one we countenance every day.
And our distress prompts us to remember that we're strangers and pilgrims here, and we look forward to the time when distress will give way to comfort, eternal comfort in Christ. Christ.
When a child is taught that Jesus is in your heart, if you keep repeating that, the child's going to grow up and learn that they don't have to go to church.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, going through some listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line in about, well, about an hour and 40 minutes. We're going to be doing Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Not an hour and 40 minutes. I can never do the math. Well, doesn't really matter. We're going to be doing Issues Etc. soundbite of the week in the second hour of the program. And that simply entails listening for those soundbites. When you've heard them, it's time for you to vote for which one you think, for whatever reason you have, for you to vote for one of them as soundbite of the week. You do that by calling us, 1-877-623-6943, sending us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or visiting our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Now, Steve had some email before the break. He was asking about the central teaching of Christianity. One of the questions he asked, and I think a bit facetiously, because it's a question that's always asked from outside the Lutheran circles. How did it take, only until the last 500 years for Luther to rediscover this quote-unquote central teaching of Scripture? No one seemed to talk about it beforehand, which is not true. If you would Google Lutheran solas in the church, in the Fathers of the Church, Lutheran solas, S-O-L-A-S, in the Fathers of the Church, you'll find a document that was compiled some years ago by a regular guest here on Issues Etc., Pastor Will Whedon, going through the Church Fathers, all of them predating Luther, many of them by some many centuries, talking about not only justification by grace through faith for Christ's sake alone, but some other things as well that are usually associated with Luther. Now, they may not use the term justification, but read the quotes. It's exactly what they're teaching. Luther may have coined the term or picked up the term. I think it actually goes to Augustine rather than to Luther. But for that matter, Augustine did talk a lot about justification, not all of it exactly correctly, but he did. So it's not unknown. It wasn't simply discovered by Luther. It certainly wasn't made up by Luther. And Luther's dead serious. So are those who are his theological descendants, that it is the teaching upon which the church stands or falls. There's a reason why we remain out of fellowship with the Roman church. They condemned our doctrine of justification. They have their own, which is not justification by faith alone, but justification by faith and the works that follow. Two different teachings of justification. I think they would agree that it is the doctrine upon which the church stands or falls. We just have a different doctrine of justification. There's a reason why we are out of fellowship with the Eastern Church. They have the same doctrine of justification, or very similar doctrine of justification. So, yes, there is a different teaching here. A very different teaching. The only question is, which one agrees with Scripture? Which one does Christ, the apostles, and all the others affirm? So I would actually say that in the pale of Orthodox Christianity, I don't mean Orthodox big O, but little o, justification is broadly understood as the central teaching. The difference is, what do we think that teaching actually is? Here are some thoughts from the Issues Etc. comment line about speaking in tongues.
Hello, this is Michael from Indian Head, Maryland. I'm listening to your episode of the Universal Language of the Church that you did on the 26th, and it dawned on me. You have the Pentecostal charismatics talking about how they have the gifts of tongues and they do this strange talking, but it's not that they have a gift of tongues. They are perverting the scriptures talking about Pentecost when we have the gifts of tongues, where Pentecost was, the languages were unconfused with the tongues for the apostles. And your guest is talking about how languages were unconfused for him. He didn't speak their language, but he understood them. And that was Pentecost. I would say that we Lutherans and any Christian with liturgy kind of have the gift of tongues as spoken in Pentecost. We can understand each other when we do the liturgy or sing our hymns, versus the charismatics who confuse the tongues and try to make up whatever language they're doing, and no one understands them.
What's an interesting insight about either unconfusing or confusing tongues? The interview that we did with Pastor Mark Sell on the universal language of the church was really about how the church has this vocabulary, this language, that although it appears in many different human languages, and it does, and in many different human cultures, and it does, is one. The church is of the same mind, therefore of the same confession. Now, here is what I was just talking about, how we're out of fellowship with Roman Catholicism and Eastern Orthodoxy. Well, here is what actually, in a different sense, unites us together. We still retain a common language. Now, if you get into definition of terms, it gets very tricky and very messy very quickly. But think about the common things that are held there. The big stuff, like who is God? No disagreement there. And that language is taught by Scripture, and it is, what shall we say, it is unfolded, it is explicated by the church. So that the church has a way of speaking, therefore thinking, the church has a confession, therefore it is a language that is unique to it. The church doesn't do itself any favors by somehow trying to adopt the language of the world in order to speak the things of God. There is going to be a language barrier there. There's not a problem with that. It's not one that we need to worry about overcoming. The Holy Spirit is perfectly capable of teaching the language of faith, that is, the language of Scripture, and the attendant way of thinking and believing without our help. We simply proclaim it. The Holy Spirit actually can do what he says he can do. By the way, the Issues Etc. comment line for anyone who wants to use it, day or night, any day of the week, it's always open, 618-223-8384, 618-223-8384. Questions, comments, criticism, we like it all, and we try to respond to as much of it as we possibly can.
Dana writes, I appreciated Pastor Harrison's recent interview, and I'm glad that he has not separated himself from the parish life. This is Pastor Matt Harrison, President of Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, recent interview on preaching. When he said that he tells people to call him Matt, that reminded me of a question that I've had in my mind since becoming Lutheran 3 years ago. What is the protocol for what to call pastors? I know some people who call all pastors by pastor and never use their first name. I am assuming that their wives and family call them by their first name. I have stuck to calling all Lutheran pastors pastor plus their last name, unless they are a close friend of our family. After Pastor Harrison's comment, I wondered if I'm being too formal. I know some people on the show call you Pastor Wilkin, others Todd. I'm just curious if there is some protocol information that I am missing that would help me to make decisions about this. I certainly have a deep respect for the office of the Holy Ministry, concludes Dana.
Well, and that's a good thing to have. And if... First of all, don't let it trouble your conscience, because this is not an issue of conscience. This is an issue of prudence. This is an issue of propriety, but not of conscience. This is how I understand it for myself, and I used to be a little more hung up on it than I am today. But it's governed by the context. It is. I will walk into church on a Sunday morning and I'll pass this person and that person. Most of them address me as Pastor Wilkin. That is good. And in that context, I think probably best. Some of them will say, hi, Todd, which is not a problem for me. I don't correct them. I always view that as coming from a right understanding of the relationships within the church that Paul talks about. Older men, older women are as fathers and mothers. And I will permit someone who's older than me, I have no problem with someone who's older than me, addressing me by my first name in church. I don't like Pastor Todd too much because it sounds kind of cute. But if that's what comes out, that's what comes out. But someone refers to me by my first name in that familiar way, and we live in an overly familiar society, it doesn't trouble me, especially when it comes from someone who's older than I am. Similarly, little children don't know what to refer to pastors as, and you would expect them to just say pastor. That's fine, too. I work in radio most of my days. It's a full-time job. I'm here every day. And here, I'm not referred to as Pastor Wilkin unless someone's here who is not necessarily familiar with our working environment, and then they refer to me as Pastor Wilkin. It's automatic. They just do it because the context says, let's show the respect to the office, the point that you made, show respect to the office. The man is not deserving that respect except in that he occupies that office. Let's show respect to the office until everyone understands kind of the context in which we're working. What do they call me around here? Wilkin. That's what they call me. It's a simple, easy way it gets my attention. It would be odd for Jeff to walk in here into my office while we're preparing for the show and to call me Pastor Wilkin. He'd get a strange look from me because the context has over the years developed such that he can call me Wilkin and it means no disrespect. Here's the caution. The caution is really a matter of either requiring respect out of some sort of personal sense of importance that a pastor is never permitted to do. I don't care how important you think you are. Any honorific title that people afford to you should be afforded to you because of the office you occupy, not because you're so darn important. If a pastor requires himself to be called pastor or reverend because he's just that important, well, call him by his first name every time you see him. On the other hand, if he wants you to call him by his first name because he's just one of the boys, you call him pastor every time you see him. Be right back.
I'm coming home. Well, my baby, she wrote me a letter.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri; Calvary Lutheran, Elgin, Illinois; Advent Lutheran, Zionsville, Indiana; Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Worth, Texas; Holy Cross Lutheran, Albany, Oregon; St. John's Lutheran, Evanston, Indiana; Mount Calvary Lutheran, San Antonio, Texas; Good Shepherd Lutheran, Boise, Idaho; Village Lutheran, Ladue, Missouri; Emmanuel Lutheran, Osceola, Iowa; St. Paul Lutheran, Clarinda, Iowa; Trinity Lutheran, Lebanon, Missouri; Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri; the Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California; Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Freeburg, Illinois; and Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Support, the Issues Etc. 300.
No weather reports necessary. We broadcast to the world. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
State legislatures across the country are voting to end tax funding of Planned Parenthood, the nation's largest chain of abortion mills. Indiana was the first. Planned Parenthood claimed the sky was falling and thousands of needy women in Indiana wouldn't get health care if they were on Medicaid. Then pro-lifers called nearly all the state affiliates posing as women on Medicaid, concerned about where they'd get services. Staff from all the Planned Parenthoods contacted said they weren't the only source of women's health care for those on Medicaid. Staffers suggested local health clinics or state-assigned primary care physicians. Even a primary care doctor was recommended. They have the same services we have, the women callers were told. Turns out the only difference was abortion.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Going through the Issues Etc. comment line and some listener email on this Friday afternoon, July the 29th. Oh, a great conversation with Dr. Jeff Gibbs coming up on Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Spend most of the time in the conversation, I think, will be spent in Bethany with Lazarus dead and then raised from the dead in John chapter 11. And a rare privilege to have Dr. Jeff Gibbs on the program. After that, Issues Etc., soundbite of the week. Here's some feedback from our Issues Etc. classic interview with Michelle Bachman on postmodernism and education.
Thank you for airing the Issues Etc. classic, where Todd, you interviewed Representative Bachman. This is David in Kansas City. And I was struck by, once again, just how pervasive the postmodern worldview has become in our schools as well as in our work, in our families, and so forth. And yet, as we look at our lives as Christians in the postmodern world, we are thankful that our Lord Jesus has given us our reason and all our senses, and he daily takes care of them. And not only that, but he has redeemed them for our benefit and for our neighbor's benefit, as he is our Lord and Savior. Thank you.
Well, we're happy to do it. We post the Issues Etc. Classics. We started doing this a couple months ago, and we thought, why not? We have all of this old Issues Etc. stuff that is so good, some of it from people who are no longer available. Seriously doubt we could get Michelle Bachman on the program today, but she was available back in 2003, Jeff, when we talked with her, and made herself very available to us, and some from people who have passed on, who are therefore no longer available, some who are perhaps indisposed, think about the, or more often indisposed, like Dr. Norman Nagel, and then some that are just classic because they're just classic. It's amazing how much we have to draw from. That is truly classic Issues, etc. And that interview was one of them. It's something we like to do for our listeners. You know, it's not something that we necessarily have to do, but it's something that it's there. A lot of our listeners have never heard these interviews, probably wouldn't find them because the volume of radio hours that we have racked up over the years is so great. You could search like a needle in a haystack. And some of them are one-time events like that Michelle Bachman interview. And we like to bring them to our listeners as the classics.
And again, the Michelle Bachman story. We were up drinking. I don't know if she was drinking alcoholic beverages.
See,
you and I were.
You remember this drinking stuff. I remember the interview.
You know what? I think you left early to go home and be home with Maria
usually
and
do.
The kids.
I usually do.
You might not have spent as much time with Michelle as I have.
Well, you know, I had a wife back in the
I did,
in
too.
The cabin.
I had a wife and kids.
And we were in Trago, Wisconsin at the Marvin M. Schwann Retreat Center that was up there and one summer. And we did a series of interviews at the Worldview Conference, and I remember doing the interviews, and I don't remember the drinking thing, but that's just me.
You might not have been there. Craig Parton was there. You know who else I was thinking was there? I saw him on Facebook. Ed DeVera from the Twin Cities.
Really?
Yeah, he was there. Yeah, and but she was just a lowly state senator from Minnesota. Who would know she'd be in the national scenes today? You know, Wilkin, it's like what you did with Country Bob's. You put Country Bob's on the map, and look what you've done to Michelle Bachman. Look at her. She'd be nobody. Nobody. She'd still be in the Minnesota state legislature, for you.
What can I say? I think, actually, listeners are putting Country Bob's on the map. Recently, Steve and Edie Wadsworth, apparently not in Tennessee right now, but in Minnesota. Was it in Minnesota? Posted a picture of the two of them with a bottle each of Country Bob's. Very nice for them to do that. We have some pictures to post later tonight of a Hermantown, Minnesota parade where a whole group of listeners gussied up their car with an Issues Etc. poster and rode into parade. And pictures of them, the car, and some of them are wearing their I Have Issues t-shirts. We'll get them up on the website. Oh, actually on the Facebook page is where we're going to put it tonight.
Hey, Todd.
Hey, what?
It all comes down to the sauce, my friend.
It does.
You know what? I think the next series, the guy that does Dos Equis, he's going to become the spokesperson for Country Bob's. Can't you just see
that
him
most
at the
interesting
end?
Man in the world?
Can't you just see him saying, "It all comes down to the sauce, my friends."
I don't know.
Can't
see,
you see that?
It's
Craig
true.
Doesn't think so.
Craig doesn't. But Craig doesn't think so. And I tend to take Craig's advice very seriously because his new nickname around here is Craig Life Coach. Fighting.
He is.
Yeah, Craig,
he's
life
giving
coach
me family
fighting.
Advice. He has no children. He's not married. And he's giving me all kinds of, on a family vacation
it's
trip.
Amazing.
He's
it's
out
amazing.
Here while you're talking.
It's amazing how clear-minded a bachelor can be about issues like marriage and children and how he can cut through. Our minds are clouded by actually having to do it. But his, because he's able to kind of sit on the mountaintop like a guru and observe our lives like the insects below, he can see so clearly. And then advise us and guide us so well. It's remarkable. So I take his advice very seriously.
Well, that's what makes him a great life coach.
That's right.
Hey, speaking of Issues Etc. Classics, hopefully this weekend we'll have 2 new hours of an interview. Some people have asked us about Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and we haven't talked to him since we've been back. And we did a very, kind of good, bad, and ugly of Dietrich Bonhoeffer with Ken Sherb several years ago. And hopefully that'll be posted this weekend at issuesetc.org. 2 hours on the life, death, work of Dietrich Bonhoeffer.
Good.
So hopefully. But that depends if I've got an engagement with the in-laws on the Hill tonight. So
you're going to go eat, which is considered kind of must-attend dining in St. Louis. If you're in St. Louis, you go to the Hill.
It's where the mob's from.
I've eaten on the Hill one time. I've lived in the St. Louis area since 1987, in or around the St. Louis area, close enough to get there, and I've eaten on the Hill one time, a grand total of one. Now, I have eaten at the restaurants like Bartolino South, which is, delicious, but I think the only place I've eaten on the Hill is—I don't even remember where I ate.
Hey, Todd, I thought Jeff mentioned earlier he wasn't feeling well. Jeff, are you feeling okay?
Feeling great.
Tip top.
I was going to say, life coach says if you're not feeling good, don't go.
All right, that's good advice.
Well, I like life
good
coach. Advice. How much does that cost?
Huh?
How much does that cost?
He just figures it into his paycheck every month. It's director of business operations / life coach. Believe me, I need one. Seriously.
You know, we could just call him DBO, just Director of Business Operations, DBO.
DBO / DBO. Yeah, DBO / LC.
I prefer Lord Feichtinger. It sounds like he was a character in one of the Shrek movies. Lord Feichtinger.
Oh, he'd be a great character in a Shrek movie.
Okay, let's see. Barbara in Pennsylvania. She said, this is on your recent Joel Osteen sermon review.
Stop for a second. It just occurred to me.
DBO.
I don't want to programmatically, what shall we say, formatically in this first hour, I don't want to mix frivolity, what is it, inane banter, with serious things. So before you go on to more serious things, Craig must tell our listeners about the other night going to see Journey.
Oh, here we go.
It was Journey.
Hey, folks, talk to you next week.
it was Journey. It was
Foreigner
and
the infamous
and
Night Ranger all in one venue. He went with the beautiful Tori. Just give us the rundown. It's because in addition to being director of business operations and a professional life coach, Craig is also a media critic as well. So tell us how did the show go the other night?
Show was great. I got out here on time, picked up Tori. We headed to Riverport, or what's Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. Great show. Night Ranger, Foreigner, hit after hit after hit. Journey, same thing. It's a great, great show.
And so, everybody wants to know, what is Journey minus
Steve Perry?
Yeah.
Well, they've been trying, what I believe is they've been trying to get him to go on a tour for years, and he didn't want to go on a tour, so they started to look for a replacement, and they found a guy on YouTube.
Sounded good?
He sounded great. So
they found the replacement for Steve Perry, the greatest voice in rock and roll, the greatest voice in rock and roll on YouTube.
I don't know if you could say, that's quite subjective. I don't know if you could say he's the greatest voice in rock and roll there. But regardless, they found a replacement that he does not pale in comparison. He's very talented.
So you were in your element. You were rocking it late 70s style.
It's a good show. Very, very hot. Very hot.
The temperature.
Yep.
Yeah, you were outside. Yep. So, but does Craig mind? No, Craig doesn't mind.
Oh. Life coach says go anyway.
Go anyway. All right. Good advice.
Craig doesn't mind. This is this single guy who works out every day who wants a riding lawnmower for a lawn that's not even 5,000 square feet. Come on.
He's managing his time.
What was the other heat thing the other day he was talking about? I can't remember what it was. But it's seriously, who? I saw Journey on, my wife has Today Show on. They're performing, Friday they have this group, Journey. And there's this guy, playing Steve Perry wannabe on there. Who wants to pay? Would you go see Would you go see the Stones without Mick Jagger? Yes or no?
No.
Would you go see The Who without Roger Daltrey? You might because Pete Townshend on guitar, but seriously, who's going to see Journey without Steve Perry? And not that I think he's the greatest singer of all time. I think I heard that. I had my headphones off. I hope I didn't hear you say that.
I was like, let's let Steve take us to the break.
Your travels bring you to Northwest Indiana. The Saints of Heritage Lutheran Church in Valparaiso invite you to join us for a Christ-centered, cross-focused divine service at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning. For more information about visiting Heritage, please contact Pastor Joseph Ostafinski by calling 219-464-2810 or sending an email to heritagelc@frontier.com. You can also visit us on the web at www.heritage.com. lcms.org.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. IssuesETC.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Ministry happens at church. This is a radio outreach. You're listening to Issues Etc.
International human rights attorney and law professor Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on the importance of Issues Etc.
Before settling in England and France, I had my own Christian radio program for 10 years in California and 2 years in Washington State. I was also a regular for over a decade on national religious television. In a word, I have had a great deal of contact with evangelical programming, both good and bad, and my judgment in this area is probably worth something. In my opinion, Issues Etc. is one of the very few programs on Christian radio willing to discuss tough questions with solid theological answers. I consider it a great privilege to be able to appear on the program regularly, and I commend it to every serious listener.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift today. Donate online at issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Defending the faith, teaching the truth. Issues Etc.
See, there's another one. You wouldn't go see Todd Rundgren if it wasn't Todd Rundgren, right? No, you wouldn't. I don't know. Jeff may be convincing me here. We're talking during the break. This is really the old Issues Etc. debate over is Van Halen still Van Halen with the guy we heard there, Sammy Hagar, and I don't think that will ever be solved. I think that's one of those questions. You have to wait for the resurrection and ask Jesus himself. Was Van Halen still Van Halen after David Lee Roth left? And we'll get the answer when we get to heaven. The only one who can solve that one. But it's a perennial question. What do you have to take away from a classic group for it no longer to be that group? Now, you mentioned the Stones before the break. I think minus Mick Jagger, it can't be. Because he is that group. Maybe it's a lead singer issue. I don't know. Anyway,
I
told you, Craig is not only director of business operations and life coach, but he is media critic. So,
okay, we better get back some email, or else nobody's going to download this show. If they haven't stopped listening already, they're like, okay, what's next on my iPod? Let's see, Barbara, Pennsylvania. She says, this is on Joel Osteen's sermon. Well, you didn't say it. You didn't even come close to say it, so I'll say the very, very obvious. One of the reasons Osteen is so popular is because he is so feminine. The culture is feminine. The women love him because he's one of the girls and doesn't spend too much time with all that yucky scripture stuff. He's so sensitive, and the women love anything emotional. The men love him because they have endured years of being feminized, years of having their manhood stolen from them. He's like the woman that they can actually take. He doesn't nag or yell, just gently, sweetly explains that if they do certain things, they will acquire some power, which the Women's Lib movement took away, and they will be rewarded. He speaks these promises of gifts so sexually, so lovingly, like they are all being seduced. There, I said the obvious, your friend of Christ, Barbara.
Barbara, thank you very much. Well, and I think that has something to do with the appeal here. There's something very non-threatening. Now, I want to avoid the term feminine. We could say emasculine. Is that a term? Probably is. If not, I just made it up. Copyright. But there's something that is very, as I said, approachable, but it's non-threatening about Joel Osteen. And it really is part and parcel of his whole message. There is no threat whatsoever. God does not threaten because sin is not an issue. God loves you anyway. So in that theology, his manner of preaching, his approach is perfectly consistent with his theology, because he is simply portraying the exact kind of God that we have in his theology, a kind of a emasculated God, a God that doesn't really care about sin, loves you anyway, really wants to help you, just is a very kind of helpful, inspirational God. He really wants to help you. He kind of depends on you. He's impotent. And I think there's an appeal in that, a great appeal in that. It's the old appeal of all theological lies, that God needs us more than we need him.
This is Paul in Milwaukee attempting his promise to give reasons for distribution and advocacy by non-Lutheran Issues Etc. listeners of the Issues Etc. recently offered Issues Etc. poster and business cards. Would that you be as I am a Lutheran? As a fellow listener alone, I say to other Christians that by running off and systematically proclaiming these materials, you help spread God's word and his will for man. He said by his son, teach. You thereby teach. For those outside the faith, especially if you seriously investigate what Issues Etc. proclaims, God's word and how it relates to the life in the world we now face, before you go to family, friends, colleagues, and the hedonist neighbor in the dysfunctional house down the street with your papers in hand and sound words in your mind and heart, you offer what you believe may be true and important, or at least worth the time of others, interesting, entertaining, or maddening. Issues Etc. is for the thinking heathen, too. Download poster and cards now, please. The convenient season is here. Thanks for listening.
Well, it always helps promote Issues Etc. Our listeners are very enthusiastic about doing this. He makes reference to the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer that we just put up at our support page. It's 8.5 by 11. You can download, print it off, and put it on your church bulletin board. Some churches have many bulletin boards, so download and print many of them. And the Issues Etc. business cards you can also download, print off, and cut along the lines. There you have it. If you print it on appropriate stock, one of our listeners even took it to a printer and had it printed on appropriate stock, then it's very self-explanatory, a way to take the information, the good information about Issues Etc. wherever you go. Thank you very much to everybody who's been doing that. It's a big help to us. Word of mouth. We depend on our listeners.